Good to be in his house this morning. Good to be with you. Pray God's going to bless us through his word. I think about Elihu, Brother Donnie, in the 32nd chapter of the book of Job, where he said he was full of matter. Remember that? And he said, the spirit constraineth me. And he said, my belly is as a wine that hath no vent. And, you know, I do believe God's got something he wants us to hear this morning. And I would not say that if I didn't think that. I'd say, oh, no, Brother Ike, get one of them other brothers. It ain't me. It ain't me. Because nobody that understands preaching wants to preach if they don't feel inclined. When we get done, you may say, well, we think you missed it. See, I didn't even wear a tie. Normally I wear a tie if I'm preaching. I wasn't planning on preaching. But somewhere between Prosperity and Westville, where Garrett used to stomp around, play in the mud holes, somewhere between those two spots, I did feel inclined. And so, look with me, if you got your Bible, in the last part of the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to scatter around a little bit. I think it's Deuteronomy 34, whatever the last chapter is. Good to be in this house. Great to be with you. My heart was blessed last week by our dear brother come and shared. That blessed me. The Word of God. My heart was challenged too by that. Well, it was a blessing. And what's his name, Brother Ike? His name slipped in my mind. Brother Mike Kelly, that's right. But look in the Deuteronomy 34. I'm going to begin reading right here. Where the word said, Moses went up from the plains of Moab or the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, and the utmost sea. And the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I've caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him. Who buried him? God buried him. He buried him. God put him. God put him somewhere no one could find him. Because if they could find him, they'd have been worshiping him. And God didn't want him worshiping Moses. They want him worshiping him. And so that's so much today. We've got great figures in America today. Great preachers, great leaders. We have a great pastor. On the national scene, we have great men like Billy Graham and his son. Great leaders. But God doesn't want us worshiping them. He wants us worshiping him. So he buried Moses. And he showed him the land, but he wouldn't go in. Now Moses appealed to go into the land. Remember this? But he couldn't go because of one sin of disobedience. And people say, well, preacher, if I, you know, ever get my life all together, then I'll quit messing up. Well, when did Moses quit messing up? You know, we find it, we preached this a while back, I don't know how many of you are here, but we talked about this, how that Moses goes up on the mount, and he brings those two tablets of stone that God told him to bring, and he's got them there, and he's coming up on the mount, and God with his finger writes on the tablet, remember that? And so Moses, God tells Moses what he's seeing down the mountain. They're dancing around the golden calf, and Moses said, Lord, it can't be that bad. And he said, oh, yeah, it's pretty bad, Moses. Get down there and check on it. And so in his hot displeasure, Moses throws those stones down. The word said he went down to the bottom of the mount. And so Joshua was trying to keep Moses calm, and Moses is out of control. And he's ready to go down there and wipe out the whole crowd. And so all these things happen, and then the next thing you know, Moses is quiet and in God's wrath off, and now God's trying to calm Moses down. And so we see this relationship. It's much like the Christian life today. We don't stop living for God because we messed up. We don't do that. And so we see this in the life of Moses. Now, if you fast forward, and don't do this now, but if you look over sometime to Numbers 20 and somewhere around the 11th verse, you're going to find there at the waters of Meribah, God, Moses finds his temper is flaring.
His anger level is rising, and all of a sudden, what did he do? God said, Moses, I want you to speak to the rock, and when you speak to the rock, you know what's going to happen? Water is going to come out of the rock, and I'm going to water the people right there at Meribah. And Moses, in his wrath and hot displeasure, wasn't mad at God. He's mad at the folks. And while he was mad at the folks, he took his rod and he smote the rock. God didn't say smite the rock. Very important that we pay attention to detail. God didn't say smite it. He said speak to it. And brother, that is a picture of the Christian life where we ask God in Jesus' name. Christ the rock was smitten on Calvary, never to be smitten again. And that rock, and the word says something about this, they drank of the rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That's why he said, speak to the rock. And Moses smote it. And this is why Moses is in this place, and he cannot go up on top of the mount. Can't go. Cannot go into the land of Israel, the land, the promised land, Canaan land. And so he's like, God, I sure like it over there. It looks pretty. I see those plains and I see those mountains and I see those rivers and, woo, wouldn't it be nice to go? He said, but you can't go. You can't go. Go up, I'm going to show it to you. But you can't go. And so in this, fast forward a little bit, the word said Moses was 120 years old when he died and his eyes was not dim. And his natural forces were not abated. It wasn't a physical problem, but it was time for God to do some things. Also, if you study this out, you'll see this, church, that God would not allow the children of Israel to go into the land of Canaan until they were some people that had went on home. Remember this? Remember those men that rebelled against God? And God said, those men will not go into the promised land. They cannot go. And so when they died out, God let them go. And so, you know, the kindness of God our Savior does not change the fact of His holiness. Does not change the fact that He's right. And He's always going to have His way. And we can't get around Him. We can't skirt around Him. And, you know, we make the analogy all the time. God is not like a Walmart mama that says, get over here, get over here, get over here. And about that time, you're ready to whoop the youngin' yourself. You're so tired of hearing this begging, begging, begging. God don't do that. And he said, when these men are gone, I'm going to let you go in. And so, watch now, verse 9. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him. And he did... and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet like Moses, not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. These things in Moses' life did not affect his relationship with God and the fact that he was saved or lost. People that wrestle with salvation, am I eternally saved or not? That's got to be a dreadful place to be, to have no assurance when the Word of God speaks of assurance, assurance, assurance. God went out of His way to assure the believer that salvation is eternal. And so that should not be a wrestling point in our Christian way. But here we find it, Moses, the faithful minister. I don't know about you, but I take great courage in this, that Moses... We're not diminishing anything about his life. You know what he was? He was flesh. And he walked in the flesh. And Paul said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what are they? They're spiritual, yes. And they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, I heard a preacher preach about the strongholds in the believer's life. Powerful, powerful things. Isn't it amazing the things that does not trip you up may trip up the person in the pew in front of you or beside you or behind you? And you say, well, I don't wrestle with that. Well, that's good. But for your brother or your sister, it may be a stronghold. It may be a wrestling point that we can't even... And God said these things, God's give us power to the pulling down of strongholds.
And so we ought to cash in on the power God's given us. Salvation brings assurance. And if there is no assurance, I wonder, is there any salvation? Because it's assurance, church. When Christ saves a sinner, what does He do? He speaks faith into their heart. It's faith imparted. Faith imparted. Faith imparted. Not earned, not cobbled up, not worked for. It's grace and faith received. And it brings assurance, doesn't it? I think if there's a lack of assurance, it's because there's a lack of His Word. And a lack of communion. And a lack of spending time with Him. That's what robs us of our assurance. It doesn't mean if you're not sure today that you're not saved. But I would get that fixed. If I wasn't sure, I wouldn't want to leave today without knowing, without a shadow of a doubt, that I was saved. Watch now. Go forward a little bit into the book of Joshua, because this is where we're mainly preaching. And so God's put His hand on Joshua. Moses is gone and Joshua's been commissioned. Chapter 1, verse 2, "My servant Moses is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon." God said, "That have I given unto you as I said unto Moses." And so He gives them the borders from the wilderness and this Lebanon under the great river to Euphrates and all the land of the Hittites. You know what those borders were? Those were the same borders that God gave Abraham. Now, because Israel gave away the land, and they said, "Okay, you can take the care of that, and y'all can have that, and we don't really care about that corner." Didn't mean God changed His mind, did it? God still explained what those boundaries were, and they were the same boundaries that He gave Abraham. And so as he's talking about this, look at verse number 6. "Be strong and of good courage." Oh, look at verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous." Fear has no place in the believer's life, does it? We're not to be afraid. We're not to be frightful. We're to fear not. How many times did Jesus say that? "Fear not. Fear not them which are able to kill the body but can do nothing with the soul." And He said, "But rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And so who do we fear? Not man. Man's not to be feared. Not government. And so here. "And not the enemy that's on the other side of the river Jordan." This is what He's telling Joshua. Don't fear the Canaanites. Don't fear those of Jericho. Jericho happens to be the place where they're going to go across. And so they're about ready to cross this river Jordan. And God's going to do something very miraculous with it. Just as He stopped the Red Sea. There's two times God uses this word in the Bible. Congeal. God congealed the Red Sea. Just like jello. It stood up like a heap. And so you ever shake the bowl and just watch it? God said it stood there. Why? Because He congealed the Red Sea. And they went over on dry ground. You know what He done to the stormy Jordan right there in the springtime, when Jordan always overflowed its banks in the springtime? I come across the Choctahatchee a while ago, and it wasn't even rain that we got. It was rain up above us, wasn't it? And so it's full. The river's full right now, and it's mighty muddy. And so here God is going to bring them across in the springtime. You'll find it in the first month of the Jewish calendar, which is the month of April. And so He's going to bring them across on the 10th day of the first month. And as He's bringing them across there, He's going to congeal the river Jordan. And when those Levites went across, they didn't come out with mud in their sandals. They didn't come out with mud in the hair of the legs. That's right, they didn't shave the legs. They had hairy legs. Hairy-legged men, Levites. And so as they come across that Jordan, brother, they come on dry ground. And everyone that come across, remember some of those Levites stood there while they crossed. And so those children of Israel, and it was a million of them, is crossing that river Jordan.
And as they crossed that river Jordan, they stood, and not only did they stand, but the water stood. God congealed them and stopped them there. And so as they come across, not until every soul has got across. Brother, when Christ comes from His church, every soul that's saved is going up. Not one soul will be left, or not one soul will be lost. There wasn't a baby left behind. There was not a grandma that didn't make the trip. They stood there till they all crossed over. And when they crossed, remember those Levites took 12 stones. Every one of the 12 tribes got them up a stone. Joshua said, get you a stone and bring it over here for a memorial. What's that memorial for? Because when some start thinking about going back, we want them to see the memorial of stones, how that God stopped the River Jordan and He brought His people over on dry ground. And those ain't any old stones. Bless God, those are Jordan stones. They come right out of the bottom of the River Jordan and He brought them over. How so? Very important that you get this. He brought them over on dry ground. I tell you, it's dry ground. What, no mud? Wasn't no brims down there wiggling into a little bit of pools of water. Wasn't no deep pockets. You know, when the river gets low around our place, we want to start walking up the river and getting them deep pockets. Fish got to go somewhere, don't they? So we got them cornered up. Wasn't no deep pockets. Dry ground. God stopped it. And he's telling Moses, pardon me, Joshua, I'm going to give you good success. Verse 8. God's interested in your prosperity. He wants it more for you than you want it for yourself. I promise you. Not the world's prosperity. His prosperity. Be of good courage. There it is again. How many times? Be strong and of good courage, Joshua. Have not I commanded thee? Be not afraid. You know, people say, well, if I quit that preacher, what would my friends think? If I come out of that, what would they say? Well, it don't matter what they say. When God begins to deal with you in a real, personal way, you won't care. You know, I was reminded this morning, when God saved me this month, it's still May, isn't it? This month was 30 years ago God saved me, May the 3rd, 87. And I remember that April, me and a buddy of mine, I was 19. We was partying hard, running crazy. Chasing girls, drinking, doing whatever come our way. And I remember we had went to a party up above Montgomery. And we left there that Sunday coming home. And everybody's got sore head, that kind of thing. And I told him we'd come through Montgomery. I said, let's stop. I need to stop at the mall a minute. And I don't think I was partaking that particular night because God was dealing with me in a real way. And I'm like, I need to go in the bookstore. Okay, we went to the bookstore. Of course, he's probably wondering why I need a book. I wasn't interested in reading. But I went over, I still got the little old $9 Bible I picked out. You know why I picked that out, Brother Ike? Because the Holy Ghost had me hemmed up. And all I knew was I needed a little Bible. There wasn't much to it. It'd be like something, you know, just a little. Very basic. But I recall, and I still think about today, the things that I was highlighting and underlining and marking. You know why? That wasn't me. That was not me. I promise you that wasn't me. Because what I like to do is fight and ruckus and carry on, cut up and drag race all hours of night. But the Holy Ghost. See, when God does it, When the high sheriff of heaven gets on your trail, he might as well get the white flag. I ain't got one, but if I had one, I'd wave it. I surrender, Lord. I surrender. And God's saying, I'm going to make your way prosperous. And you're going to have good success. God said, I'm going to give you that, Joshua. If you'll just believe me and be strong and of good courage. And be not afraid. See, some of you are afraid this morning. You wonder what people will think. But you know what? They're not thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves.
they're not worried about what's going on in your little world. I mean, to a degree they are, but it's only to a degree. And Joshua's right here. Moses is gone.
The leader. Boy, Moses had his deals.
We talked about those. But when it come down to needing a word from God, everybody run to Moses, didn't they? And Moses ain't here no more. And God said, it's you, Joshua. And don't be afraid. It's you, and I'm going to prosper. I'm going to prosper you. It's you, and you'll have good success. And I've commanded thee. Look down into verse 11. Pass through the host and command the people and say, prepare ye victuals.
Now, country boy talk, that's victuals. That's where the old timers got victuals.
They got it right out of the book. They just didn't know how to pronounce it. Well, they didn't have no education. Granddaddy told me he went to school 2 days. One time he took his brother, and the other time he went back and got him. It was only 2 days he went. They didn't have no education. And so they said victuals. But the word is victuals right out of the scripture. And so here we see it that 3 days you're going to pass. It said, get you up a sack of groceries because in 3 days you're going to pass over this Jordan. Fill your knapsack full. Pack your lunchbox. Why? God said, get ready because in 3 days, there's a lot of things happen in 3 days, didn't it? In 3 days, Christ arose. Watch now, 3 days you're going to go. And then God gave the word to those that had decided they'd stay behind. I don't know what them Reubenites, Gadites, and half tribe of Manasseh were smoking, but it led them astray. They said, we'll just stay back here if it's all right with you. I don't want to be in the tribe of Reuben, do you? I want to go where God's blessings are flowing. He didn't say anything about milk and honey where they stayed. The milk and honey's on the other side. And church, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that want to be in the camp of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And they say, we'll stay back here. Feel safer back here. Ain't no giants over here. Ain't no Jericho people. Ain't no marching we got to do. We'll stay back here. We're safe. You know what they are? They're saved and they're satisfied. But the land of milk and honey's on the other side. And they said, we're staying back. And there's a lot of people that choose to stay back. But it's not where God wants us. Go forward a little bit into chapter 2. Those Reubenites, Gadites, and half-tribe Manasseh, they went over. Remember, they went over. And those men of war fought till the whole land was conquered. Then they came back. So Joshua straightened them out about that. He said, we're not changing our mind about the plan of action. You're going when we go. We'll fight the battles, we'll conquer the land, and you come back here. That was the deal. Had a peace agreement about that. Verse chapter 2, verse 1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. I don't think it was because they was looking for business. I think it's because it's where God opened the door. You know where we need to go, church? We need to go where God opens the door, don't we? Where God opens the door is where we need to go, where God nudges. We sing the song, wherever He leads me, I'll follow. And brother, God led them here and opened the door for them. It was a place of safety. But it wasn't just a place of safety for those two spies. God had His secret service right there. It wasn't just a place of safety for them, brother Leroy. It was a place of safety for everyone of that household that would be saved. Everyone. And so it was a mission work, if you will. And so here as they go, and we know the story, how they were hid. Fast forward a little bit, and you're going to see it. They make an agreement, the whole thing of the scarlet thread, the scarlet line in the window. And if there had been no scarlet line in that window, that family would have been destroyed. If there's no blood, if there's no blood applied to the heart of every believer, that person, that unbeliever, will be destroyed if there's no blood applied. And so salvation is rest in the fact of believing. And so when we believe God, what did He say? He believed God and it was counted. Abram believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Brother, way before he ever saw that homeland, he believed. God sent him out
of the year of the Chaldees. And you know why he went some 800 plus miles across that desert with his little wife by his side and a couple armor bearers and servants with him? He went because he believed God. He hadn't seen anything. He just believed it. See, that's where we are. We haven't seen heaven, have we? But we believe it. Salvation is by faith. It's by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And this little woman had to believe that these men were as good as their word. And she put that scarlet line in the window. And maybe her folks thought, what are you doing? What are you doing, Molly? Let's say her name's Molly. We don't know. Or Rahab. What are you doing, Rahab, with that scarlet line? What's that about? It's what they told me to do. And they said, if they do that, everyone in the house shall be saved. Doesn't that sound like the Passover? Remember the Passover? Well, that blood's got to be applied to the house. Household salvation's real, isn't it? God saves the whole household. If you don't believe it, ask that Philippian jailer. He saved the whole house. If they was one old rebellious son-in-law in there, I believe he got saved too, don't you? The whole house got saved. And so we see it right here. What happened? If the blood's applied, then God's going to pass over where? He's going to pass over the house. And so you still need a personal experience for God. We're not overlooking that. But I tell you, household salvation's real. When we pray over our lost children, our unsaved children, our children we're not sure are the in or the out, we ought to believe God for household salvation and remind Him of His Word. You will not offend Him. Say, God, You saved his whole house. You saved her whole house, Rahab. Maybe You'd save my whole house. I believe You will. And so here it is. Joshua's kept the Word. Watch down the third chapter. We're skirting right on through. Verse 2, it came to pass after 3 days that officers went through and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, then shall you remove from your place and go after. And stay 2,000 cubits, that's about 3,000 feet. Stay back behind the Ark about 3,000 feet. Don't get too close. God said stay back. And so sanctify yourselves. Watch now, verse 5, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You know, that's God's going to do some wonders in our life, too. I truly believe that. Especially the younger people here are almost guaranteed to see great wonders God's going to do. Joshua spake unto the priests and said, take up the ark. And so here they come, and we know what happened. They put their feet in the brink of the water. And the word said, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And they did stand still. And verse 13 said, as it came to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark shall rest in the waters of Jordan, the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up as an heap. Isn't that amazing? God made a wall out of those waters. And see this, it came to pass when the people removed from their tents, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, that as they bear the Ark, they were come. And the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up as a heap. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, verse 17, stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the people were passed clean over. God commanded them to take the 12 men. And of course the memorials, we're not going to get into all of that. But there was the memorial stones we talked about. Said a little bit about that. Look over to the 5th chapter. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. There was no circumcision in that 40 years of wilderness wandering. They stopped it. Brother, you want to talk about faith? We're not going to get too neck deep into this whole process, but I'm telling you, that's a real work of faith, isn't it?
I mean, there were sharp knives for a real reason. And God commanded it. And what did the people do? They obeyed. And then you see this down into verse 8. It came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And they did eat, verse 11, of the old corn of the land. And we're getting down to the part I want you to see now. Fast forward a little bit to the 13th verse. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? He didn't know who he was. You know, somebody sings the song, there's angels among us. And that's so, isn't it? The angel Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. And so we see it. Psalm 34 speaks of the angels. God gave us angels. Angels shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And here Joshua, he sees somebody, but he ain't sure who he's seeing. He wants to know, are you a good guy or are you a bad guy? Are you for us or against us? I think it'd be wise if we'd ask that question. Sometimes when our decision-making process, are you for us or against us? And analyze that by the Word of God, not necessarily what they say, but really look at it and see and hear it. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of churches today, if they would do that with the things that come through the pulpit, they'd be better off, wouldn't they? You for us or against us? So many's went the prosperity route, the name it, claim it route, the get it and grab it route. That's not God's will. Are you for us or against us? That's all Joshua wanted to know. And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? You know, the Scofield reference, this is the unseen captain, talking about the Lord Jesus, how that, Joshua has an experience right here with God, and he realizes, and that's why, much as Moses did in verse 15, the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Brother Jesus showed up and he's equipping Joshua for the journey. You know why Moses put up with that bunch of rebels for 40 years? Because he had an experience with God that allowed him to do so. That's why. And so he needed power. Joshua needed power for the things he was about to go through. And in the 6th chapter is the key part of what we want to look at. All this other has just prepared us for what happened in the 6th chapter. And Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. I want you to get this. Watch this. The Lord said unto Joshua, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you're going to compass the city. And you know this from a child. They're going to compass the city for 6 days. They're going to do it one time a day. One time. See it? You shall compass the city, go round about, verse 3, once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. God did not leave in his military efforts. He did not leave out the priest. How valuable are those that stand between us and God. Very valuable. I wouldn't have wanted to be in that Red Sea experience without a Moses, would you? I wouldn't have wanted to come across that River Jordan without those priests standing there. Standing in the gap. Making up the hedge. And so we see it where God had men. God had men. Kings. Go back and study out the kings. The kings had men. They had Elishas and Elijahs. And they had great prophets of God. And here Joshua is standing in the gap. And here the priests are leading God's army. It's very important. Chaplains in our military, very important. Dying men on the battlefield. need a way to find the Savior, don't they? You say, well, what about the deathbed experience of being saved in the last moment? I'd take it over nothing, wouldn't you? I'd rather leave saved than lost. Deathbed salvation, I wouldn't want to bank on it. What if Christ don't call? But if I was the recipient, I'd sure be proud. We don't want to wait on that. Now's the appointed time. Now's the accepted time. Behold, today's the day of salvation. And so here, God's got them lined up. The priests are leading the way. And it shall come to pass, verse 5, when they make a long blast with ram's horns. And when ye hear the sound of the trumpet. That sound familiar? It's going to be a trumpet sound, church. It's going to be a trumpet sound when Christ comes back. Yes, and the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. And so here, when you hear the trumpet, what a parallel. All the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend. It's what the church is going to do, isn't it? The church is going up. And this is what he said, the people shall ascend. What's that mean? They're going up into the city. And don't forget what's going to happen. All of those walls will fall flat. That's what God said. Every one of them. And they're going up on that rubble. And they're going to take the land. And the word said this. Every man's going to ascend up straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant. Let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets. Brother, they got the ark there. Isn't that amazing? That same ark. Remember what was in the ark? You know, we forget about this, but the ark is about the size of this communion table. And God gave the perfect dimensions of the ark and overlaid it with gold, and it had rings on each corner, and poles went in. And how did they bear it? Upon their shoulders. David found that out the hard way, didn't he? David wanted to put the ark on a new cart, and God didn't want it on a new cart. He wanted the Levites hauling it everywhere it went. And David said, bless God, we're going to perk this thing up a little bit. We got some fine horses, mules, oxen. It was oxen. And we got all of these things over here, and we're going to put some pizzazz in this whole matter of bringing the ark into Jerusalem. We're going to have a real parade, brother. We're going to turn this show up. Brother, here they come. They got it on the wagon. And then we know what happened. That oxen stumbled, didn't he? And when he stumbled, old Uzziah, just as innocent as could be, he's innocent as a wind-driven snow, and he reached over to stabilize the ark because the ark shook. And when he reached to grab it, the Holy Ghost killed him. And that stopped the parade. God didn't want it on a new cart. He wanted them old faithful Levites hauling it. Brother, here they want. They got them long poles going through that ark, and they're hauling it on their shoulders. And here they come. And they're leading God's army. God's all upon them. Remember what was in the ark? The commandments of stone were there. You know what else was in the ark? The manna pot. Remember the manna pot? It was there. And there's one more thing in there we know for sure. Aaron's rod that budded, that old almond rod. Remember that? They put that in the ark. These things were there for a testimony. You know what they were a testimony of? That God was real. That these things were not to be forgotten. And so all of these things were so. And here's the priest, and they're going around. Now, just a few more minutes. Try to get your head wrapped around this picture. That city is on lockdown. Ain't nothing going on. Nobody's doing business. The kids ain't in school. The whole show shut down. We done heard that the Jericho Gazette has done covered it, brother, that the river stopped flowing. 1 million+ Jews has come across that river. And they didn't need a water hose to wash their shoes when they got over there either. God done it. And these heathens don't know where to put it. They don't know where. They don't know how to rationalize this. And all of a sudden now, they are marching around our city. And we got a lot of nice walls around our city. But somehow we still don't feel safe. Rahab the harlot
has received those men and she said, bless God, there's something happened in her life. No doubt God breathed faith to her, brother. By faith, Rahab the harlot perished not with them that believe not. It's by faith she done that, church. We got the record right there in Hebrews. And you know what? James spake about Rahab too, didn't he? James said, bless God, Rahab was justified. How was she justified? Her faith produced works. She hid them spies, brother. If she hadn't hid those spies, if she'd have lied to them, tricked them, sold them out, God would have killed her. By faith, she perished not with them that believed not. And so watch now. Everybody's tense. School shut down. Churches ain't even having church. City governments are closed. Office buildings. I imagine they even turned off the Wi-Fi. It's that serious. Don't you? And so all of these things are going on. DOT ain't even working. Can you imagine that, Garrett? All of these things are going on. And every day they're looping that town. And nobody's saying a word. Isn't that kind of scary when they don't say nothing? Brother Raymond, you can amen that. When they don't say nothing, that's what's a little scary when they don't say nothing, ain't it? You know what that's like, Brother Don. We can't get Miss Ann to talk. And you're like, well, ain't nobody saying nothing. She ain't like that. It's just all these, you know, other people deal with that. And so, here it is. Nobody's saying a word. And everybody's, what are they doing? What are they doing? Household to household. What's going on? They marching, but they ain't saying nothing. And you know every day the anticipation's building, don't you? And here it is, 6 days. No doubt they got the campfire built, the children of Israel do. And Joshua's alone with the Lord that night, I would imagine. And those soldiers are probably wondering. I know what he said. He said on the 7th day something really miraculous was going to happen. I don't know about you, church, but I just believe God wants to do something miraculous on your behalf. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't have to know. But God longs to do something miraculous for you. Is that so? He stopped the river for them. He brought them over on dry ground. He's fed them for 40 blessed years. He's raised up a Joshua in the place of Moses. And he even let him see God. He saw the unseen captain. He felt his presence. God wants to do something miraculous right here. For what kind of people? Common people. Common people that just believe God. That's who he wants to work for. And brother, here it is, that 6th night, no doubt the fire's dwindling down a little bit and everybody's had their syrup biscuit. Had some figs and pear preserves. By the way, I run out of them pear preserves, sis. Shameless plug right here. They were good. Just like Maxwell House to the last drop. And so they had figs. Did y'all hear that? Figs? Anybody put figs up around here? And so they're doing all these things. Everybody's washed up a little bit and sitting around sipping on a cup of coffee before they go to bed because they're a little anxious about what's going to happen tomorrow. Fire's dying. And they're like, well, what do you think, Brother Ike? And, I don't know. What do you think, Brother Donnie? I ain't sure what God knows. What he said he's going to do. We know what he said. On the 7th day, you're going to march 7 times. On the 7th day, you're going to march 7 times. And he said unto the people, verse 7, pass on and compass the city, and let him that's armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it come to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests, bearing the 7 trumpets, that's God's number, ain't it? Of ram's horn passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Go forward a little bit. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Now watch this. Let's not forget this important fact. The seventh day, they're marching seven times. There ain't no noise until the seventh time. And so they said, well, bless God, all these other days, they marched one time. Now they're like, whew, whew, everybody's getting dizzy. We went around this place six times. Well, what's going to happen? God said on the seventh time, if they'd have quit marching, I don't believe they would have saw it. He said seven. God's always very specific in what He wants. I love this about God, don't you? We don't have to wonder what He wants. Amen. He gave us 66 books to tell us what He wants, and that's all He wants. He said, well, I feel like I ought to do this and this and this and this. Well, if you feel that, do that. But don't try to harness everybody else up with what you feel, because God's already told us what He wants. You know, it'd be like asking your sister when you was young and said, well, Mama said we could do this, and your daddy said we could do that. And they say, yeah, but you need it. And I'm like, well, who are you? Yeah. A lot of people want to harness you up with things God didn't say. Amen. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Remember that? And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So we want to stay free. But we want to be specific about what God wants. Seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of horns before the ark went on and blew with the trumpet. And so they done it the second day. And it come to pass at the seventh time, the seventh day, the seventh time, verse 16. At the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. I'm going to tell you, sir, even in this great strategic plan, even in this agony of waiting and watching and 6 days and wandering, and the seventh day we marched six times, and now we're going to march seven times, and everybody got your horn, yes, sir, and you got it clean, you done checked it, it's ready to go, yes, sir, it's ready to go. And God said, Joshua said, remember all these things, and oh, by the way, don't forget Rahab and stay away from her house. Don't destroy Rahab the harlot. Do you see this? Out of this great strategic plan, God did not forget Rahab the harlot. That blesses me. And see this now. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all that are with her in her house. Why come? Because she hid the messengers that we sent. Rahab probably didn't even have time to learn how to quit being a harlot. Rahab probably had all of these. Her life probably could make a black mark on a washpot, couldn't it? But you know what? By faith she received it. You know how saved she is? She's just as saved as the little child that never said a dirty word or ever thought a dirty thought. She's just that pure. She's even purer than that. Why? Because Christ has made her pure. God said, don't forget Rahab. And Rahab's house probably wasn't the place most folks wanted to be. But bless God, those two men went there and said, hey, we've been commanded. You young lady and grandma and Aunt Martha and Uncle Bernie, get them all. Get the youngins. Well, get them all. Bless God, we all got to go. We got to go. And so they rounded them up. Not just Rahab, but all her household. And one day Rahab is going to tell the story. You know what kind of story she's going to tell? She's going to tell the story of how that God sent those faithful men by one day. And the only reason they weren't destroyed. And you know what? They're going to see the rubble back there in Jericho, right? Because the whole city fell flat, didn't it? And the whole place went up in smoke. And she's going to say the only reason we was not destroyed in that city was because your grandma Rahab believed God. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. Look over to Matthew 1. I'll show you something real quick and we're closing. Does God really honor faith? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And you're thinking, preacher, my belly has growled. Sounds like five cur dogs in there tied up. I like cur dogs, don't you?
Now, it ought to be a sin not to have at least one cur dog. But this is real quick. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. Judas begot Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begot Esron. On and on and on. Look down to verse 5. And Salmon. How'd you like to have that name? Now, I love Salmon Patty. But I ain't naming my boy Salmon. I just ain't going to do it. Salmon Patty and Biscuit, I'll tell you a funny story. When I just got my job at the co-op. I worked for REA co-op. Back then, you started out cutting trees. Well, you had a six-month probation. And so I had backed over a mailbox on an older couple. I was raised by my grandparents the last few years of my life, so I love older couples and old-style eating, too. And so I backed over the mailbox, and I grabbed that mailbox up, and I ran to the house. Boss man, he can't see me. And I put it on the carport, and I said, if you won't say nothing, I'll come back after work and put you up a brand-new mailbox. My probation was about up, and I was subject to termination until my probation was up. He said, hey, ain't no problem. Don't worry about it. So I run back over there with a new mailbox and put it up. It was wintertime. Got dark early. And I went and bumped on the door. I said, I got your mailbox. Good. You ate anything? No. Come on in and eat with us. No, wouldn't think of it. And then that little old sainted woman said, they both dead and gone now. She said, I got Salmon Patty and Biscuit. She ought not said that. She ought not brought that up. I thought, well, maybe I will have a bite. And so, there's just some things you don't run by a preacher. Like fried chicken or Salmon Patty and Biscuit. But Salmon begot Boaz of who? Rahab. Rahab the harlot was King David's great-great-grandma. By faith she perished not with them that believed not. God put her right there, took her out of harlotry, saved her out of Canaan and Jericho, and put her right there in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we stand together, I don't know what you can add to that. I really don't.